Hello and welcome to another edition of the Colts Corner podcast. Today we'll dive into Hills West Hoops, boys and girls, enter the playoffs coming up later in the week. We'll talk about the Olympics. A very exciting week of Olympic action. Of course, our newest segment, the Electric Moment of the Week, will take place, and our producer question from our producer this week, Pujan Pandya. Let's do it. Welcome back for another exciting edition of the Colts Corner podcast. I'm Douglas Latuca alongside Benjamin Dixon, Brian Flatow, and Mike Garafa. No Matty Gold today, and we missed the guy.
Well, Matt Gold, really. I want to say congrats. He is going to Penn State University.
Yes.
Wow.
He has decided.
Good for you,
Gold. Got into Goldie. The business school. Very happy for him. So, great guy.
Go Nittany Lions, Gold. Congrats to you, buddy.
I actually wrote a great article we'll bring up a little later about Coach Atkinson. So that was a great piece by Matty Gold. We just want to throw a quick shout-out. You guys want to start it up?
Shout-out Abrar Rahman. He's going through some tough times right now, and we're just here. We're thinking about you, buddy, and we love you, man.
Nothing but the best. You're in all our prayers.
Yeah, I agree. It's tragic, but hopefully he can recover and we can be seeing him soon.
So we hope he has a quick recovery and is back on his feet in no time. So we'll move into Hills West basketball as the boys will play, Saturday at Ward Melville for their first playoff game. It should be exciting.
Yeah, that's the 8-9 game there. The boys were hoping for the 8 seed, try and get that home game in the first round, but they're the 9. They're playing at Ward Melville. And they played earlier in the year. Ward Melville handed the Colts their first loss. It was 57-44 win for Ward Melville. But I was talking to some of the players before. They say expect it to be a great game. And, of course, the winner gets Hills East, the number one seed in the bracket.
Wow. That's really big. I mean, hopefully they do win that game. And that Hills East-Hills West rivalry will be on display in that second round of the playoffs.
You know, there's no denying that this year Hills East has been unbelievable. But anything can happen when it's East versus West. So I'd be really excited if we could pull this first one off.
Yeah, Hills West has definitely had that playoff magic going for him this year so far. You see with the soccer team. And hopefully the basketball team can carry some of that.
100%. Atkinson actually told us when we sat down with him about how the team gels towards the middle of the season to the end into a playoff run. And it clearly has showed. Because early on, a little choppy on both sides of the ball. But really, the last few games that we've covered, they've really gotten out in transition. Their defense has been outstanding. And the big players have stepped up. So really gelling well, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, the only issue is, though, they won't be home in any games in the playoffs, which is that's a big hit, not being able to have those home fans. But if they do play at East, we will have a lot of home fans there. But that's the closest they'll get to having a very packed house.
I don't even know if they'll be able to fit the amount of fans into the East-West game. Because if you look at, I've seen a few of the boys' East games, and the standings are absolutely packed. It's an exciting show over at East.
Yeah, and they're going to have to fill almost two whole schools, I can imagine. Right? I mean, I'll be in attendance, or I'll try and get in attendance, if possible, if there's any room in those stands for that potential game. But I'm not sure how they'd be able to fill that. That would just be very exciting.
Yeah, got to get past Ward Melville first. Make sure to not overlook them.
100%.
It's obviously a road game. Should be a great environment there. High school playoff basketball doesn't get much better than that. So, and we'll move on to the girls now. Obviously, that big win, they completely destroyed Huntington in their playoff game. And the interesting thing that I see is that Huntington didn't reach double digits three out of the four quarters. In the first, second, and third quarters, they scored 8, 6, and 3 points respectively. So that just proves to say that the girls played some great defense that game. I mean, it's a hell of a win. Sam Hinkie with 25, Kayla Robertson with 12. And they're going on to face Comac in the first round.
Let me just ask, what does that look like when a team scores three points in a quarter? Like, as a coach of that team, you're coaching up the team, right? and you see, you look at the scoreboard, and you've had 3 points for the entire quarter. That could be one shot. There's a chance that's one shot. I know girls hit a lot of threes. I can't even imagine that. That's off the charts right there.
That's complete embarrassment if you're Huntington. You got to show up. It's a playoff game here. Wild card. Real disappointing. But got to give credit to Hills West. They're playing real good basketball right now. Going up against Comac, a bigger school. Obviously, more kids trying out, more girls trying out. And it should be an interesting matchup. I don't believe they'll have a home game the rest of the playoffs. So both basketball teams moving on from this point will not have home playoff games. So it's Saturday against Ward Melville for the boys, and I believe tomorrow the girls will get a game as well. We will actually update you on the potential.
Friday, tomorrow. Yeah, and that was my mistake. I said first round. It's number one seed, yeah. Comac. That's what I meant.
So Hills West will go at it in the first round of the playoffs. We'll segue into the Olympics, an international sport we'll dive into. So a couple interesting sports you don't really see or talk about it much, like curling, ice skating, all these other types of sports that are going on here in the Olympics. Just to keep you guys caught up to date, Norway leading the pack. They have a total of 17 medals, followed by Germany, who has 15. Leading in gold medals is Germany with 9. The Netherlands with 12, Canada with 13 total, and the United States with 8. They do have 5 gold medals as they trail the pack, and they've really got to step it up here behind Norway, the Netherlands, Germany, and Canada. So they are 5th in total medal count. We'll keep, hopefully they continue to strive. There's plenty of time here, and hopefully they continue to get some medals.
Let me just say, it's the U.S. We come in first every Olympics. I'm expecting nothing less. And even now, I see only a few events are away. This is a 2-week long competition. It's a long ride. I'm very confident that U.S. is going to bring all those numbers up.
Yeah, a lot of time to make up some ground in the medal standings there.
Just to correct myself, I said playoffs. Of course, it's the Olympics. We're off the playoff talk. Olympics, great games. I really tuned into every night there's something else going on. So you tune in and you look at curling, for example, and you just pick up on what the color announcers are talking about with the spinning of the rock, or the stone as they call it. It's really intriguing, except the sound really bothers me. I have the sound of the sweeping really does get to me.
That does annoy me. And I was watching that same curling match that you were. That was very, very interesting. Me and my dad were getting into it. I was texting both Ben and Doug during that. That was a very fun time.
Yeah, it was pretty funny watching that because I don't think I've ever seen curling before then, and it was just wild. I mean, the communication between the
curlers,
the male and the female, the doubles curling, they really knew what they were talking about, and the color announcer knew what they were talking about too. So credits for him. I would never know that much about curling.
And also this isn't curling, but into a little bit of a bigger sport, the snowboarding. Snowboarding's absolutely taken over the Olympics so far.
Sean
and,
White.
The Sean White, Red Gerard, Chloe Kim, they're all had excellent runs. Love to see it all.
Yeah, another interesting take from this year's Olympics. When you look up at the score card or the medal count, you look and it says the Olympic athletes from Russia, not Russia.
Right, so and it's not the Russian flag; it's the Olympic logo.
They got banned for drug use.
The substance abuse violation with the Russian figure skating team.
But they do have some athletes out there in their hockey team. They definitely have some big names: Pavel Datsyuk, the former Red Wing on that team;
Ilya Kovalchuk as well.
Yep.
So a couple big names on Russia, and they look to be the favorite here
for the
hockey tournament, especially with the absence of NHL players from this tournament. Just to go into that. I believe it's actually embarrassing, and it's really selfish by the NHL. Here's why. You have to take, if you're the NHL, 2 weeks out of your schedule. So I believe they took out the All-Star game weekend, so the break was just for the Olympics. So I understand that the players that are in the Olympics do not get a break, so that's one concern. They need their break But if they're in the All-Star game, they're not getting a break anyway. So it's just selfish by the NHL that they would not allow these players to play for their country. And you talk to some of the players, you see some of their interviews, and they're just really disappointed in the decision.
Alexander Ovechkin being exactly. one big one.
They just, it's heartbreaking to them, honestly, that they can't put their country's colors on their back and fight for a medal here, as they've done it for multiple years, and now they took it out. And the competition is really not great.
That's what I was going to say. The hockey is one of those sports. That's one of the things you look forward to in the Winter Olympics.
Oh,
that's arguably the main event of the Winter Olympics when all the NHL players are out there. And there was never a blowout. Canada, I think, won the last two. I know they won in Vancouver. I'm not 100% on Sochi, but they had that overtime game where Sidney Crosby hit it against the USA. I remember that to this day from the Vancouver Olympics. It was wild. They have great games every year. There's no reason they should be doing this. If anything, they should do this in basketball, where the USA runs away with it every single year.
Same thing with TJ Oshie in that 4 years ago, I think it was.
It was absolutely
electric. He was keep on going back and forth and back and forth in the shootout, just scoring goal after goal with those Olympic rules. So that was crazy. And I couldn't agree with you more, Doug. I think it's a disgrace that the NHL isn't letting their players compete. Nothing gives more pride to a guy than putting on those colors and participating for his country. So I don't think it's a great job by the NHL.
You could just see the rivalry, too, built up between especially USA and Canada. And now the competition is just not there. It's not great. When you have Matt Gilroy as one of your captains,
Brian Gionta hasn't
been in the league for years. Gionta is probably the closest guy on the U.S. team to an NHL player. He is a veteran. There are younger guys, obviously, in college that will
eventually
have an opportunity.
Make it to the
NHL. But it's honestly embarrassing. And the loss to Slovenia was really heartbreaking. And it just shows how big of a disgrace this is.
Yeah, up 2-0 at the end of the second period, going to the third, lose 3-2 in overtime. That's definitely a tough loss. So the men do play tonight against Slovakia. I think that's a 10-10 game. Should be on NBC or NBC Sports Network. Can't confirm that. But the men are definitely looking to bounce back at 10-10 tonight against Slovakia.
So we're going to whip it around for our newest segment, the Electric Moment of the Week. Mike Garafa, you get started off.
All right, so electric moment for me at least, and quite a few other people with... All right, Ben.
I'm just kidding. Love the Yanks.
Yeah. Spring training baseball officially beginning. Glad to get my MLB chatter in here. Pitchers and catchers reported this week. Next week, games officially begin. Full games begin on Friday between teams, though just other teams will be playing colleges starting Wednesday. It's going to be very interesting.
Very interesting, Garafa. And my electric moment of the week, Johnny Football. You know, Johnny Manziel, he's making his comeback. He's selling the merchandise, comeback season, all over social media, all over his Instagram, etc. He actually did an interview this week with Part of My Take, Barstool's Part of My Take podcast.
Brilliant.
He's all in. He's participating in the Spring League, I believe the NFL Spring League. And it's very exciting. I like the idea. I mean, he was excellent in college. America's built on second chances. Let's give one to this guy.
Yeah, I agree. And that spring league last year, Facebook Live averaged about 60,000 views. I imagine those go up by like 100 times the number now that Johnny Football's playing. So my electric moment of the week, I'm just going to go with college basketball Saturdays. There were a couple great games, Michigan State, Purdue being the highlight one. Miles Bridges, I mean, this guy's a superstar. He's one of the best shooters in the country. 20 points, including a game-winning three over Purdue. Purdue was in a battle for first place with Ohio State for first place in the Big Ten, and now Ohio State stands alone at first place in the Big Ten. Not a lot of people expected that. And the other game I'm going to highlight from that, Brian, I'm sorry, Virginia Tech coming on the road, taking down number two, Virginia, now number one, so the loss obviously didn't impact them too much, and on Sunday, they were revealed as the number one overall seed in the country if the tournament was to start today anyways, but I mean, crazy win for Virginia Tech. I honestly thought Virginia had a real chance of going undefeated, running the table in conference play, but a great game from Justin Robinson, 20 points for Virginia Tech, and Kerry Blackshear Jr. with the putback layup to win it for Virginia Tech. That was a great game.
Tech shot the lights out in that game. That was they played really well. And one more thing with Miles Bridges. If I'm a team like the Knicks, I'm going to target Miles Bridges. He's going to be a big time pro. Honestly, he's a real good player.
Yeah, and it also fills the forward void for the Knicks. Exactly. Now that they've traded for Moutier, Nicolina, and they got Porzingis. So, Doug, let you speak now.
I just wanted to say one thing about Garofa and the spring training. With the free agent spring training, as they've now created that behind Scott Boras and the Player Association. So we'll save it.
And no media there either, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But go ahead, Doug.
We'll talk. But my electric moment of the week is the Cavs, the new look Cavs.
Love them.
After the trade deadline, they've won four straight. Starting off with the LeBron fadeaway jumper in OT to win it over the Timberwolves, which was absolutely electrifying. They've won four straight. Rodney Hood, George Hill, Lance, Larry Nance, and
Jordan Clarkson,
they're all playing real well. And I think LeBron's having fun. LeBron is back to having fun. Even Jay Crowder, interestingly enough, Jay Crowder went on and said he's back to having fun playing basketball in a new system. Where did he go?
Utah. And they're on an 11-game winning streak. So good for him. He's in the situation Donovan Mitchell.
Good squad
out there. Obviously one of the front runners for Rookie of the Year. But the thing with the Cavs, when LeBron is happy playing basketball, it is scary for the rest of the league.
Yes, it is.
Everyone should watch out for the Cavs, who, in my opinion, have strongly taken back the throne of the East. In my opinion, they never left. When you have LeBron, can't ever doubt them.
Yeah, Cavs looking good. We have won four straight. Shout out to the Blazers, I believe. Yes, Damian Lillard, big game last night. They topped the Warriors even with the KD 50-point night. So big win there for the boys. Garofa, let's hear your question.
All right, so we'll just bring it up in general. So just thoughts on the free agent spring training facility. I'll just give in my little bit of an idea. I think it's interesting for the guys like that. When I heard about it originally, I thought it was actually a very good idea because there are guys out there who just haven't been signed and they're not getting any work in with other players. So I think it's interesting. But Ben, like what you said with the no media, I think it's a little weird. But we'll go around.
Well, Scott Boras is the major problem here.
I hate him.
Players are expecting way too much money in contracts. Andrew Kashner just signed a deal.
I think it was $2 million.
He is one of the worst pitchers that I've ever seen.
$16 million?
2 years, $16 million for the Orioles.
Well,
to get signed
those are the Baltimore Orioles for
He is not an elite pitcher at all. He's barely a starting pitcher, and he just got $16 million.
Yeah, that's
so now we know where the value of players are, and it's just way too high. They've got to lower their expectations. Hosmer wants 8 years.
He wants 8 years like $160
it's
million.
It's ridiculous. You're not going to get that. And I like the idea of giving them a spring training facility. It makes sense. You got to keep these guys working out. But honestly, if you don't want to sign, then go work out yourself.
Yeah, it's
the
ridiculous.
League should not be providing you a facility work out.
Yeah, it happened in the NFL barely, but with Darrell Revis, it was almost an every year occurrence for the New York Jets. He always held out, waited till he got that new contract, or he didn't. But the thing is, sign the contract, MLB players. Like, you're multimillionaires. All the guys who haven't signed already probably have over $100 million in career earnings. Like, Jake Arrieta, go sign with the team. But Jake Arrieta wants this huge contract. JD Martinez, too. He was in the AL with the Orioles. Jake Arrieta wasn't a good pitcher for the Orioles. Came to the NL. Obviously, had that Cy Young year with the Cubs. If I'm
and he struggled last year, too.
And he
so
struggled
you're coming.
So maybe it was a fluke year. So you can't pay these guys this much money up front. Just go sign with the team, play for your contract, and then get it after a great season.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the greed, honestly. It's getting out of hand. You can't be asking for this much money, this extreme amount of money, when especially in Jake Arrieta's case, he had a down year last year. I can't make a baseball reference here, but if you're a guy like in football, DeMarcus Lawrence, the defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys, he had an excellent year in his contract year. That's a year you got to provide. If you don't provide that year, you're not getting the big deal. I'm sorry.
Correct.
That's just not how it works. So you want to hold out? Don't play this year.
I also think it's very interesting because going into this offseason, I thought it was going to be the best offseason we've ever had with all the amount of players we could have blockbuster deals from and the amount of trade rumors. And now all of a sudden we've just got it coming out that nobody's signed. We've got guys like JD Martinez, Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer still going unsigned. They're going to be playing together at this random free agent facility. I don't even know where it is. I think it's in Arizona probably.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's ridiculous. All these guys, the greed. Todd Frazier signed one of the smallest contracts I've seen for a guy who could hit 30 home runs in a season. The fact that Andrew Kashner made like only $1 million less than him, it's kind of ridiculous. And
yeah, well, Frazier is coming off a bad year, so yeah. I think $17 million is actually a little bit too much for the guy. But I think it's a nice signing by the Mets. He brings a lot of leadership. I like that a lot. The no media at the free agent training really bothers me as well, because not only are you not going to sign with an MLB team,
you're not going to talk to anyone.
You're not going to talk to anybody. How is anyone supposed to see you at the training?
Well, the scouts can.
If you ask me,
wants to go there?
Any kind of media blackout in professional sports is almost pointless. If you ask me, people are going to find out regardless. There's no, I don't understand what the point is of having no media at a facility like this, especially when media is so vital to a free agent.
Wouldn't you want the media there?
Wouldn't you want a media? If you play well, you want the media to say, "Oh, this guy played well." Yeah. Oh, there's more hype around you.
Practically, if you have a phone, you can be media. Right. Just take a video of someone, text somebody, do something. It doesn't even matter. They should be being questioned. Why did you not sign? Why do you want too much money? Why are you greedy? That should be the question that they should be asked. Yeah. Because this is ridiculous on it. This is honestly ridiculous. Teams don't even have full depth charts yet. I mean, we just entered the spring training. We're a little premature for this. But, I mean, come on already. You got to get onto a roster, learn the plays. You got to learn where you fit on a team. You can't just be thrown in there. This isn't just like a bowl of pasta. You can't just throw different noodles into different things and make a nice meal here.
It's a salad bowl or a melting pot.
Yeah, melting pot.
A bunch of beef stew.
Talk about the Olympics. Great work.
I couldn't agree with you more, Doug. I mean, as a professional athlete, one of your obligations is to speak to the media. And the fact... This isn't someone who just, the MLB team that set up this camp. This is the MLB Players Association that set up this camp. So they made all the rules. I just think you got to speak to the media. It's your role as a professional athlete. And sign a contract, please. Let's get the season started.
Let's get the show on the road.
The D-backs also left J.D. Martinez's locker open for him to come back. But it's just stupid.
All right, so we'll see what happens with that one. That'll do it for us this week. As always, we'd like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Acciutti, Dr. Catapano and the administration, the Board of Education, our audience who listens every Thursday, today's producers, Pooj and Garoff, for coming on the podcast. And finally, thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon alongside Douglas Satuka and Brian Flattow. We will see you next week.